We're going to talk about today about basically our priorities. Now, some of us are, and I use us in a loose sense, careful shoppers. My wife tells me I'm not all that careful, especially when it comes to expensive items, you know, like our cars or things like that. You know that if you buy the cheapest thing on the lot, it will run. But we also understand that it probably won't last all that long. Sometimes it's not worth the investment. It depends on what your priorities are at the moment. A lot of us understand is, you know, it's better to save up and buy a better item that has a chance of surviving for a little while. But in a sense, our whole life is an investment. We are spending our time. But what are we purchasing with it? Is it something that's going to be durable, or is it going to be something temporary? Oftentimes, we spend the time that we have so freely, it's hard to find extra time. There's just so many things going on. And as most of you know, I have more projects than can be done in a reasonable amount of time. And I've been having to learn the hard way. This is a good lesson to remind me. That's one of the reasons why I brought it out, that I got to prioritize my activities. Certain things have to take priority. Some things I just have to drop. As much as I would like to do them, there's not enough time and they're not that important. For a lot of people, work ends up consuming most of your time. But work for work's sake is not a satisfying way of living life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the book of Ecclesiastes is basically addressing why are we here? What's the purpose in life? Why did God create man? But in chapter 4, he addresses the topic of work. And he says, there was a certain man, in verse 8, there was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, for whom am I laboring or depriving myself of pleasure? This too is vanity and a grievous task. Back when I was managing in IBM, I realized that, you know, some of the best employees I had as a manager from that point of view were single young men. They didn't have anybody to go home to. They would put in long hours just because they didn't have anything else to do. But at the same time, from the other standpoint, but as a Christian looking at it and saying, this is not good for anybody's health. We have to understand that, you know, what are we doing? To have a life that's all work and no enjoyment, that's not good. Or to consider the man who was mentioned in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and starting with verse 16. He told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here is a man who was planning on taking lots of time off. He had all sorts of things prepared. He was going to retire in luxury. The problem was, he was so focused on now that he wasn't thinking about eternity. He had all sorts of preparations for living life nicely while he in his older age. But none of us know when our life ends. And this particular man spent all this time working, only to when he got before time to retire, he wasn't going to enjoy it. Because he wasn't going to be around to enjoy it. What God tells us is that the only way to true satisfaction in life is if we put God first. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, and we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, listen, you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." It sounds strange. If you don't have any money, come here, buy what I have to sell you. And you'll have more than enough, and you don't have to pay any money. It's all offered without cost. What God is talking about is a satisfying spiritual life. That does not cost you anything. It doesn't cost money. It makes you happy. And life is a whole lot better. But that satisfaction comes from God, not from the world. Another thing we need to realize is that not only do we need to work for what truly is satisfying, but time is more precious than we often realize. There's an interesting statement in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 15. It says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." And some of your translations will say redeem the time, which is closer to what the Greek word is. Redeem is when you purchase something that's a precious commodity. In fact, it's usually something that you're buying back because it was lost to, like somebody who got caught up in slavery, and you bought them back. That's redeeming. What he's using is that same word to say, we need to redeem our time. We need to buy it back, because it's a precious commodity that we can't get back once it's used up. We have a limited amount of time in our life. Take a look at Psalms 90. Psalms 90, and we're going to start at verse 10. "As for the days of our life, they will contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that's due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." We need to keep track. We need to understand. I don't have forever here. And what's more important? What's more precious with the time that I have left in this life? I'm getting older and older, and as I start looking at it and saying, you know, I hope I'm going to be able to preach up into my 90s. I don't know if I'll make it that long. But I'm getting to the age now, I'm saying, that's not very much, many years, even if I say 90 sounds like an old age, right? At 60, it's saying, I only got 30 years left, if I live that long. Things are getting shorter. I still got a lot of things I would like to get done. Every opportunity that flies by is then lost if we don't make use of it. There's a story that we've read numerous times in Luke chapter 10. It's about Martha and Mary. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to come help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, if you think about it, if you got an opportunity to entertain God in your home, that would be a big event, wouldn't it not? Jesus is the Son of God. He's God. He's part of the deity. He's coming over for dinner. What are you going to do? Mary said, "I'm going to sit down while I have a chance and listen to God teach." Martha got caught up in thinking, "Well, I need to entertain God and get him good food and get all this stuff served." But which is more important? After all, God made the world. Now, if he wanted an eloquent meal, I guess he could make one for us. But how often do you get to hear God teach directly? And that's what happens in a lot of our life. We get caught up in things. And I got to get this done. I got to get that done. But what's really important? What's going to matter when we get to Judgment Day? It's not that we can ignore work. Don't get me wrong. We live in a world in which we have to work. We have to labor. In fact, the command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And starting with verse 11. It says, "And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need." We should not be a drain on society. We should be working and earning our living in a nice, quiet fashion. That's what God expects of us. Those of us who have family, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." We need to understand we got responsibilities, and we should have enough to deal with those responsibilities. In fact, Paul also is recommended in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. He says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with those, with one who has need." So when I work not only just to say, "Hey, I need to take care of myself, I need to take care of my family," but also I want to have a little bit extra there so that I can help other people who are less fortunate. That's what God expects of us. But by doing that, we are doing good. We're following what God teaches. So we are to work, but we're not to allow our work to make us so tired and so busy that we end up neglecting the other work of God. In 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and starting with verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in our Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." We are to work. And that's the emphasis that's being made here. We are to work. But God requires service from us as well. He told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." What does God require of us? He requires us to do what he's told us, to be obedient to him. I can't do that while staying at the office all day. There are things that have to be done. People to talk to, good deeds that need to be accomplished. Things that God has laid out for us. In fact, in Romans, again, Romans chapter 12, Paul describes it this way. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." It's not about me. It's about doing what God wants. Putting him first. Now, some of the things God tells us, we have obligations that we have to fulfill. But I got to do what God wants. Think about how many people fill their lives chasing after the things that they want. Doing the things that they desire. I was just answering a note this afternoon, a guy who was caught up in all sorts of sexual sins, and he said, "I just couldn't help myself." Yes, you could. And the big thing I pointed out to him was, you're just chasing your own emotions. You're chasing your own desires. And then somehow he thinks he's a Christian. Where's the chasing after the desires of God? Putting God first. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." God is offering us a place in heaven forever. What do we give back? We serve God with every bit of ounce of respect and fear that we can. Now, some serve God, but they don't allow time in their lives for any effort. In a sense, they serve God, but they serve it only as a matter of convenience. Well, when I have time, then I'll do this. But when we look at the teachings in the Scriptures, look at one of the things that it says in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 16. 2 Timothy 2 verse 16. Or actually verse 15 is the one I want. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." That idea of being diligent. Diligence is putting effort, hard effort, fast effort, but not sloppy fast. It's putting hard work into it. We need to show that we are approved of God by knowing what God wants us to do, which means I need to study His Word. In Hebrews chapter 6, that word diligence is used again. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. But we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Just like the people of old, the people we read about in our Bibles, when we go through the books like Genesis and Exodus and getting up into Judges and the Kings, those people who lived their lives and we admire what they did, we got to show the same diligence. So our priority in our lives needs to be for eternal things. Yes, we live in the world and it requires us to do things in this world so that we might continue to live here. But the priority ought to be on spiritual things. Take a look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. There's that idea again we had from Isaiah 55. Which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal. Work for food that lasts for eternity. Work for what really satisfies and makes what life worth living. In other words, we need to purchase with our time everlasting things. That should be our focus. And we need to use it wisely. I hope you'll think about these things. I know it's a little on the short side of the lesson. But it hit the point that I wanted to make real well. That we need to think about where we put our priorities in our lives. And I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here again tonight who wishes to become a child of God, to become a part of God's people, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like to pray as your brother on your behalf, again, we offer that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.